the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening along. Got a nice Sunday morning for the middle of the winter. It's not too terribly cold outside. Pretty pleasant, really. And we're looking forward to meeting today at the Eastside Church of Christ, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock this morning. We'd love for you to come and be with us as we worship our God and study His Word, pray to Him and praise Him. We're thankful for the opportunities to live and to glorify God. That's what life is all about. And we'd love for you to be with us this morning at 10 o'clock at Eastside to do that. If you're not able to be there, we do have online streaming of our services. You can check that out on our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ, Athens, Alabama on Facebook, or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and look at the live streaming. It's at 10 this morning. And again, we'll have a online-only broadcast this evening at 5 o'clock. So be with us for those if you can be. As we think about how great God is, we realize if you're a believer in God that God can do anything He wanted to do. He limits Himself in some ways. He can't lie, obviously. He can't do injustice. So when I say He could do anything He wanted to do, He doesn't want to do those things. That's not in His nature. But He is almighty. He is all-powerful. Job said in Job 42 and verse 2, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So whatever God purposes, He can accomplish that and will accomplish that ultimately. So that sort of begs the question, maybe to some who are not believers in God, but who wonder if there is a God or who think, well, if there is a God, why does He do things like He is doing? And even those who do believe in God may want to ask the question or may wonder sometimes, what is God accomplishing here? What is His purpose? What is He trying to accomplish with creating the world, with putting man on the earth, with all that's happened in human history? Why is He allowing things to go on as they are? And we have these kinds of questions sometimes, and I'm not saying that they're not legitimate questions. One of the things that the Bible does for us is it answers some of those big questions. And there are those that have been Christians for a long time who really haven't thought about very deeply, I think, those answers that are for us in the Bible. This morning I want to talk about what God's purpose is. Why did He create us? We know that if we're believers in Him, or even if we think that He might exist, we know that if there's God, He's surely powerful enough to create everything and create life and human beings and everything that goes along with what we have here on earth and or in the whole universe. But what's He trying to accomplish by doing that, right? That might be a question that a lot of us have. And the Bible, as I said, answers that. In the book of Ephesians, Paul the apostle is especially interested in revealing this to us, what God's purpose is. In fact, he says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 that there is an eternal purpose which he accomplished, which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the purpose? Well, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and spend some time looking at the first half of the book of chapter of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Paul says, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. What's Paul saying here? Well, Paul's, first of all, thanking God for all of our blessings, especially all of the spiritual blessings that those of us who are in Christ have. But he says about God that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, that ought to tell us that God had a plan, He had a purpose before He ever created anything. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about choosing us. What was he choosing us to be? Well, he wants us to be holy. That's pure, separated for him. So if we're holy, we're purified. We are set apart for a relationship with him. He wants us to be holy and without blame before him in love. So he wants us to be those who are before him, in a relationship with him, in a loving relationship with him. So that's something, part at least, of what God had in mind when he created us. He wanted to create beings whom he could love, who would be like he is, holy and blameless, pure, and be able to have a relationship with him through eternity. The Apostle Paul, though, doesn't leave it there, because he tells us in verse 5 that ultimately God predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So to put it plainly and in words we can understand, what God wanted is children. I have known a lot of young couples who maybe they're having trouble having children, or maybe they were able to have children, but they wanted more children, and they'd go out and adopt. My family adopted a child. It's a great experience. You want to have more loving children in your family, and that's the purpose, that's behind a lot of people adopting children. God wants more children. Think about God the Father, his son, Jesus Christ, who's been with him through eternity, the Bible tells us, and he has this perfect son, and it's a loving relationship, and he just wants more of that. So how can God have children who want to be his children, who will love him like his only begotten son does, and whom he can love in that way in this pure environment of heaven? How can he accomplish that? Well, that's what he's accomplishing. That was his purpose in creating us. That was his purpose in everything, really. So what the Bible says then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 is he predestined us to adoption as sons. I read a story sometime back, and this happened years ago, I'm sure, but it was about this great lady that had come to an orphanage, and she was going to adopt this little girl named Jane. And the girl was brought in, and she's having the interview with this lady, and the lady asks her, says, "Do you want to go home?" She says, "Do you want to go home with me and be my child?" And the little girl looked, and she said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to or not." And the lady says, "Well, I'm going to give you, a nice house and beautiful clothes and a room of your own and a beautiful bed and your own table and chairs and a lot of love." And after a moment of silence, the little girl said, "Well, what do I have to do for all of this?" and of course, the lady burst into tears, and she just says, only love me and be my child." A lot of people who go through this process of adoption, that's all they want. They want a child who will love them and be their child, whom they can love, who they can help and give things to and help them become, all that they can be. That's what a parent typically wants when they adopt a child. God is wanting to adopt children. That's his purpose. He wants to adopt children who will love him and truly be his children, be like him, be part of his family. That's what his intention was to begin with. And Paul is laying that out in no uncertain terms here in Ephesians chapter 1. If we go to Romans 8 just for a minute, I'll go back to Ephesians momentarily. But in Romans chapter 8, there are a couple of interesting verses in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. There the Apostle Paul says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here again, the eternal purpose of God is stated in no uncertain terms. Everything's working together for good to those whom God's called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? He wants to have children like his only begotten son. Paul says that just bluntly in this verse. He says he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, that is his only begotten son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants a big family, a big loving family with children who are pure and holy and loving like his only begotten Son, Jesus, is. So that's his eternal intention. That was his purpose. Well, as you go on back in the book of Ephesians, you can see something about how God accomplished that. For Paul will go on to say in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So the question comes up, you know, if he wants children that are holy, if we need to be holy like his only begotten Son, that's a problem, because since he's given mankind free moral choice, all of us have chosen to sin. And, you know, sin doesn't go along with who God is. Sin is impurity, and God wants pure children. Sin is a violation of his will, and God wants children who will obey him and show their love for him by obeying him. So the problem with God's plan, you might say, is sin. And somebody might say, well, didn't God know that sin would happen? Didn't God know that men would choose to do evil and not to love him as they should have? And the answer is yes, God knew that. But he made provision for that. He made it so he could give man free choice, allow man to make a bad choice, and still be able to adopt us as his children. And the way he did that was through the blood of his Son, who paid the price for our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on the earth, in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance. You know, an inheritance is something that you give to children, right? We've obtained our eternal inheritance through Jesus Christ because he paid the price for our sins. It goes on to say, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's where we started this morning, right? God can do anything. He can accomplish anything that he purposes according to the counsel of his will. And that's what he's done by creating this world, allowing man to make his choice to sin, allowing evil to come into the world, but sending his Son to be the Redeemer, to be the one who can, through the sacrifice of his blood, the offering of his himself, buy us back, pay the price for our sins, and enable us to be holy and without blemish before God in love, to be his loving children. I hope you see what a beautiful story this is. This is the story of God's purpose, and it's the explanation, in fact, for why we are here. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer of the Hebrew letter says in chapter 2 and verse 9 that we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste of death for everyone. It was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So again, this passage is saying the same thing, isn't it? Jesus came. He was higher than the angels to begin with, but he was made a little lower than the angels. He was made as a man. He came in fashion as a man, and he tasted death for all of us. And in doing that, he was paying this price to bring many sons to glory. That's those of us who believe in Jesus and are saved through his blood. Here's Christ fulfilling the eternal intention, the eternal purpose of God. This all happened in the fullness of times. You know, God didn't send Jesus the day after Adam and Eve sinned. History played out for millennia before Christ was sent. Man needed to learn some lessons. God needed to show us some things, and he did that, as we'll talk about in a second, in the Old Testament. But the point is, in all of human history, since the world's been turning, God has been working this plan so that he could have children with him for all eternity who are in the image of his only begotten Son. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the apostle then says, "In the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You see how many places this is in the Bible? How many times it says, here's the purpose of God. Here's what he's trying to accomplish. He wants children like his only begotten son, and he sent his son to accomplish that task. So the crucifixion of Christ, the giving of Jesus on the cross, was really the culmination of this plan of God in a lot of ways. Now, there were things that came after that to enable us to come into a relationship with God, to take advantage of the sacrifice of Christ. But this was the pinnacle of his plan, to send his son into this world to pay the price for the sins of mankind in order that we might truly be God's children, truly be a part of his family, which is what he wanted to begin with. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 22, Jesus is proclaimed by the apostle Peter and the apostles on that day, who are talking to Israelites, talking to Jews. And Peter stands up and he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God." See, the crucifixion of Christ wasn't an accident. It wasn't something, well, you know, Christ really came to set up a kingdom on earth, but they crucified him instead. That's not what happened. Jesus Christ came to be crucified. He came to give his life a ransom for all so that you and I could truly become children of God. He was delivered, Peter said. Peter would know, right? Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Here's what God had purposed from before the foundation of the world. We've read that in Ephesians 3. We saw it in Romans chapter 8. God had this eternal purpose, this eternal plan. This is echoed in multiple places in Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and 2 Timothy rather, chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that he's saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Again, you get the point? God had this in mind before time began. Here's the whole reason he's created everything. You know, I talk to people sometimes and they say, well, why is there so much evil in the world? Didn't God know this was going to happen? If he's really God, couldn't he have stopped it? Listen, God's plan is working out just perfectly, just exactly like he planned. He wanted to create beings who could choose whether or not to love him. He could have made us all robots. That's not what he did. He allowed us to make a choice. And then when we made a bad choice, he by his grace, was able to send his son to die for our sins so that we might have a second chance to make the right choice through his love. And that's what we're given in Jesus Christ. But this was God's plan, the grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, before time began. Listen to what Peter writes about it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This was foreordained before the foundation of the world, for it was surely part of God's eternal plan. If salvation through Christ was the plan, then everything leading up to that was part of the plan, okay? and from the creation all the way through the Old Testament, all of it has to do with this plan, bringing Christ into the world to save man, to make us God's children. These are not random events. Again, we point to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, where Paul had said, in him we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God worked all of this. That's not to say every last single incident that happened was predetermined by God, but it is to say that no matter what man chose, God was going to work his plan in human history, and he did that so beautifully and so wonderfully. We have a record of that plan being unfolded for us in the New Testament and then being in the Old Testament and then being revealed to us, in essence, in the New Testament. And you can even see indications of the plan of God, the purpose of God, very early in the history of mankind. In fact, right after the sin in the garden, God speaks to the man and the woman, and he speaks to the serpent. And he says to the serpent, among other things, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. So God, speaking to the devil, in essence, tells him, look, what's going to happen is that the woman is going to bring forth from her eventually somebody who's going to crush your head. You're going to hurt mankind. You're going to hurt him. But this one that's to come from the seed of woman is going to take care of evil. And of course, that's an indication, at least, of what God's plan was in sending his son Christ into the world. Later on in Genesis chapter 12 in the history of the Old Testament, you see God interacting with a man of faith by the name of Abram, or Abraham, as he was later called. But in Genesis 12 and verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. Make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, from Abraham, of course, comes the nation of Israel eventually. Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So from Abraham comes the nation of Israel, and from Israel comes the Christ. In Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that story is unfolding throughout the pages of the Old Testament. When we get to the New Testament, we understand that all of the prophetic and miraculous work of the Old Testament pointed to Christ, pointed to God bringing to fruition this plan that he had, this purpose that he had from before the foundation of the world. What God had done in the Old Testament was that he'd used prophets, really spiritual heroes, who were involved in the unfolding of this plan. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter writes, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace of God that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things that have been reported to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These things angels desire to look into. Now, Peter says a lot there, but just a couple of things that I want to point out. He said that the salvation that we can now have through Christ was pointed to by the Old Testament prophets. They were prophesying about things that would come to pass in the life of Christ and in the establishment of the church. And so Christ is prophesied about 300 different times at least in the pages of the Old Testament. The establishment of the church is prophesied about. Those being saved throughout the world, not just Jews, but people from every nation, through the work of the Messiah. All of that is talked about by the Old Testament prophets. When we come to the New Testament, then we come to a passage like Luke chapter 24. After Jesus now he's come to earth, he's lived his life, he's fulfilled his public ministry, teaching the news of the gospel, and he's been crucified and raised from the dead, when we come to Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. In that text, Jesus, saying some of the last words that he'll say to his apostles, begins to let them know some critical information about the unfolding of God's plan in the Old Testament. He says to them, again, Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, the scriptures would have been the Old Testament scriptures. He said to them, thus it was written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This had been prophesied about in the Old Testament. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So basically he says, look, I'm helping you now understand all of these Old Testament prophecies that pointed to me, that pointed to what's about to happen, which is they were about to go to Jerusalem and the church would be established there in Acts chapter 2. Salvation would come ultimately to all nations through the work of Jesus Christ. And the apostles would be the messengers of that glorious gospel. Again, when you turn over to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 1, he tells them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This was God's purpose being fulfilled. This is how salvation for mankind came to be. This is how God began to adopt his children after he had paid the price for their sins through the blood of his son. When we come back over to Ephesians, I mentioned that at the top that Ephesians really talks a lot about this eternal purpose of God and how he brought it to fruition. And the point that not only did he send his son, to die for us and to enable us to be adopted as sons, but then he made arrangements for that message to get out, you know, so that we could know what God has done and know what we need to do to become his children, to fulfill our purpose. Because you see, if his purpose was to have a lot of children who love him and are holy and will be in an eternal relationship with him, if that's his purpose, then that's our purpose too. That's why we're here. We're here to find God, to become his children, to be holy as he's asked us to be through the blood of his son, and to prepare ourselves to be with him forever and ever. If God's purpose is to have us as his children, then our purpose is to become his children. It's as simple as that. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've already written, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages has not been made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. What's an heir? It's a child who inherits the blessings. We are God's children. Here's the mystery. Here's the great story. Here's the secret of God's eternal purpose. It's not hidden anymore, folks. We don't have to guess what God is trying to do. We understand what he's trying to do. It's been revealed to the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ, and they wrote about it. They told us about it in the pages of the New Testament. In chapter 3, verses 8 and 11, the apostle will go on to say, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the ages that was hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. See, this is God's purpose. People didn't know about it before, but we know about it now. To the intent that now, Paul says, the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church. He says in verse 11 then that this is according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, I don't want anybody who's listening to me this morning to go away and not understand what your purpose is. God has created us. He's put us on this earth so that we can come into a relationship with him through his son. We can choose to be God's children through the benefits of the blood of Christ. You can choose that. And if we can help you do that, we'd love for you to get in touch with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. Again, we're meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Get in touch with me. My email address is there. Love to hear from you. Thank you for listening this morning. Strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama.